This is Ms. Jeece bringing you Telling Tales here at 104.3. And tonight's story is by Edith Maud Eaton. She, in the early 1900s, was a Chinese-American writer. Her story tonight is titled Mrs. Spring Fragrance. It was a story written in 1912, and it offers more than the mere shinosuri. Her questions are about love, tradition, and the meaning of assimilation in a new nation that are still resonant almost a century later. I'll be right back with the start of my story, so stay tuned here at 104.3 in Juneau. This is Ms. G. I'm back bringing you Telling Tales. And tonight's story, Mrs. Spring Fragrance, is by Edith Maud Eaton. When Mrs. Spring Fragrance first arrived in Seattle, she was unacquainted with even one word of the American language. 5 years later, her husband, speaking of her, said, "There are no more American words for her learning." And everyone who knew Mrs. Spring Fragrance agreed with Mr. Spring Fragrance. Mr. Spring Fragrance, whose business name was Sing Yuk, was a young curio merchant. Though conservatively Chinese in many respects, he was at the same time what is called by the Westerners Americanized. Mrs. Spring Fragrance was even more Americanized. Next door to the Spring Fragrances lived the Chin Yuns. Mrs. Chin Yun was much older than Mrs. Spring Fragrance, but she had a daughter of 18 with whom Mrs. Spring Fragrance was on terms of great friendship. The daughter was a pretty girl whose Chinese name was Mei Gui Far, a rose, and whose American name was Laura. Nearly everybody called her Laura, even her parents and Chinese friends. Laura had a sweetheart, a youth named Kai Zhu. Kai Zhu, who was American-born and as ruddy and stalwart as any young Westerner, was noted amongst baseball players as one of the finest pitchers on the coast. He could also sing, "Drink to me only with thine eyes," to Laura's piano accompaniment. Now, the only person who knew that Kai Zhu loved Laura and that Laura loved Kai Zhu was Mrs. Spring Fragrance. The reason for this was that although the Chin Yun parents lived in a house furnished in American style and wore American clothes, yet they religiously observed many Chinese customs, and their ideals of life were the ideals of their Chinese forefathers. Therefore, they had betrothed their daughter Laura at the age of 15 to the eldest son of the Chinese government school teacher in San Francisco. The time for the consummation of the betrothal was approaching. Laura was with Mrs. Spring Fragrance, and Mrs. Spring Fragrance was trying to cheer her. "I had such a pretty walk today," said she. "I crossed the banks above the beach and came back by the long road. In the green grass, the daffodils were blowing. In the cottage gardens, the currant bushes were flowering. And in the air was the perfume of the wallflower. I wish, Laura, that you were with me." Laura burst into tears. "That is the walk," she sobbed, "Kaiju and I so love. But never, never can we take it again together again." "Now, little sister," comforted Mrs. Spring Fragrance, "you really must not grieve like that. Is there not a beautiful American poem written by a noble American named Tennyson, which says, 'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all?" Mrs. Spring Fragrance was unaware that Mr. Spring Fragrance, having returned from the city, tired with the day's business, had thrown himself down on the bamboo settee on the veranda, and that although his eyes were engaged in scanning the pages of the Chinese World, his ears could not help receiving the words which were borne to him through the open window. "'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all," repeated Mr. Spring Fragrance. Not wishing to hear more of the secret talk of women, he arose and sauntered around the veranda to the other side of the house. Two pigeons circled around his head. He felt in his pocket for a lychee, which he usually carried for their pecking. His fingers touched a little box. It contained a jade stone pendant, which Mrs. Spring Fragrance had particularly admired the last time she was downtown. It was the fifth anniversary of Mr. and Mrs. Spring Fragrance's wedding day. Mr. Spring Fragrance pressed the little box down into the depths of his pocket. A young man came out of the back house, of the back door of the house at Mr. Spring Fragrance's left. The Chin Yun house was at his right. "Good evening," said the young man. "Good evening," returned Mr. Spring Fragrance. He stepped down from his porch and went and leaned over the railing which separated this yard from the yard in which stood the young man. "Will you please tell me," said Mr. Spring Fragrance, "the meaning of two lines of an American verse which I have heard?" "Certainly," returned the young man with a genial smile. He was a star student at the University of Washington and had not the slightest doubt that he could explain the meaning of all things in the universe. "Well," said Mr. Spring Fragrance, "it is this. 'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all." "Ah," responded the young man with an air of profound wisdom. "That, Mr. Spring Fragrance, means that it is a good thing to love anyway, even if we can't get what we love, or, as the poet tells us, lose what we love. Of course, one needs experience to feel the truth of this teaching." The young man smiled pensively and reminiscently. More than a dozen young maidens, loved and lost, were passing before his mind's eye. "The truth of the teaching," echoed Mr. Spring Fragrance a little testily. "There is no truth in it whatever. It is disobedient to reason. Is it not better to have what you do not love than to love what you do not have?" "That depends," answered the young man, "upon temperament." "I thank you. Good evening," said Mr. Spring Fragrance. He turned away to muse upon the unwisdom of the American way of looking at things. Meanwhile, inside the house, Laura was refusing to be comforted. "Ah, no, no," cried she. "If I had not gone to school with Kaiju, nor talked, nor walked with him, nor played the accompaniments to his songs, then I might consider with complacency, or at least horror, without horror, my approaching marriage with the son of Manu. But as it is, oh, as it is." The girl rocked herself to and fro in heartfelt grief. Mrs. Spring Fragrance knelt down beside her and, clasping her arms around her neck, cried in sympathy. "Little sister, oh, little sister, dry your tears. Do not despair. A moon has yet to pass before the marriage can take place. Who knows what the stars may have to say to one another during its passing? A little bird has whispered to me." For a long time, Mrs. Spring Fragrance talked. For a long time, Laura listened. When the girl rose to go, there was a bright light in her eyes. Mrs. Spring Fragrance in San Francisco, on a visit to her cousin, the wife of the herb doctor of Clay Street, was having a good time. She was invited everywhere that the wife of an honorable Chinese merchant could go. There was much to see and hear, including more than a dozen babies who had been born in the families of her friends since she last visited the city of the Golden Gate. Mrs. Spring Fragrance loved babies. She had had two herself, but both had been transplanted into the spirit land before the completion of even one moon. There were also many dinners and theater parties given in her honor. It was at one of the theater parties that Mrs. Spring Fragrance met Ah Oi, a young girl who had the reputation of being the prettiest Chinese girl in San Francisco and the naughtiest. In spite of gossip, however, Mrs. Spring Fragrance took a great fancy to Ah Oi and invited her to a tete-a-tete picnic on the following day. This invitation, Ah Oi joyfully accepted. She was a sort of bird girl and never felt so happy as when out in the park or woods. On the day after the picnic, Mrs. Spring Fragrance wrote to Laura Chen Yun thus: "My precious Laura, may the bamboo ever wave. Next week I accompany Ah Oi to the boitous town of San Jose. There will be met by the son of the illustrious teacher, and in a little mission presided over by a benevolent American priest, the little Ah Oi and the son of the illustrious teacher will be joined together in love and harmony, two pieces of music made to complete one another. The son of the illustrious teacher, having been through an American hall of learning, is well able to provide for his orphan bride and fears not the displeasure of his parents, now that he is assured that your grief at his loss will not be inconsolable. He wishes me to waft to you and to Kaizu, and the little Ah Oi joins with him, 10,000 rainbow wishes for your happiness. My respects to your honorable parents and to yourself, the heart of your loving friend, Jade Spring Fragrance." To Mr. Spring Fragrance, Mrs. Spring Fragrance also indited a letter. "Great and honored man, greeting from your plum blossom, who is desirous of hiding herself from the sun of your presence for a week of 7 days more. My honorable cousin is preparing for the Fifth Moon Festival and wishes me to compound for the occasion some American fudge, for which delectable sweet made by my clumsy hands you have sometimes shown a slight prejudice. I am enjoying a most agreeable visit, and American friends, as also our own, strive benevolently for the accomplishment of my pleasure. Mrs. Samuel Smith, an American lady known to my cousin, asked for my accompaniment to a magniloquent lecture the other evening. The subject was America, the Protector of China. It was most exhilarating, and the effect of so much expression of benevolence leads me to beg of you to forget to remember that the barber charges you $1 for a shave, while he humbly submits to the American man a bill of 15 cents. And murmur no more because your honored elder brother, on a visit to this country, is detained under the roof tree of this great government instead of under your own humble roof. Console him with the reflection that he is protected under the wing of the eagle, the emblem of liberty. What is the loss of 1,000 years or 10,000 times $10 compared with the happiness of knowing oneself so securely sheltered? All of this I have learned from Mrs. Samuel Smith, who is as brilliant and great of mind as one of your own superior sex. For me, it is sufficient to know that the Golden Gate Park is most enchanting, and the seals on the rock at the Cliff House extremely entertaining and amiable. There is much feasting and merrymaking under the lanterns in honor of your stupid thorn. I have purchased for your smoking a pipe with an amber mouth. It is said to be very sweet to the lips and to emit a cloud of smoke fit for the gods to inhale. Awaiting by the wonderful wire of the telegram message your gracious permission to remain for the celebration of the Fifth Moon Festival and the making of American fudge, I continue for 10,000 times 10,000 years, your ever-loving and obedient woman, Jade. P.S. Forget not to care for the cat, the birds, and the flowers. Do not eat too quickly, nor fan too vigorously, now that the weather is warming." And just a note from the author, the plum blossom is the Chinese flower of virtue. It has been adopted by the Japanese just in the same way as they have adopted the Chinese national flower, the chrysanthemum. Mrs. Spring Fragrance smiled as she folded this last epistle. Even if he were old-fashioned, there was never a husband so good and kind as hers. Only on one occasion since their marriage had he slighted her wishes. That was when, on the last anniversary of their wedding, she had signified a desire for a certain jade stone pendant, and he had failed to satisfy that desire. But Mrs. Spring Fragrance, being of a happy nature and disposed to look upon the bright side of things, did not allow her mind to dwell upon the jade stone pendant. Instead, she gazed complacently down upon her bejeweled fingers and folded in with her letter to Mr. Spring Fragrance a bright little sheaf of condensed love. Mr. Spring Fragrance sat on his doorstep. He had been reading two letters, one from Mrs. Spring Fragrance and the other from an elderly bachelor cousin in San Francisco. The one from the elderly bachelor cousin was a business letter, but contained the following postscript. Sin Hing, the son of the government schoolmaster, seems to be much in the company of your young wife. He is a good-looking youth, and pardon me, my dear cousin, but if women are allowed to stray at will from under their husbands' mulberry roofs, what is to prevent them from becoming butterflies? Sing Foon is old and cynical, said Mr. Spring Fragrance to himself. Why should I pay any attention to him? This is America, where a man may speak to a woman and a woman listen without any thought of evil. He destroyed his cousin's letter and reread his wife's. Then he became very thoughtful. Was the making of American fudge sufficient reason for a wife to wish to remain a week longer in a city where her husband was not? The young man who lived in the next house came out to water the lawn. Good evening, said he. Any news from Mrs. Spring Fragrance? She is having a very good time, returned Mr. Spring Fragrance. Glad to hear it. I think you told me she was to return the end of this week. I have changed my mind about her, said Mr. Spring Fragrance. I am bidding her remain a week longer, as I wish to give a smoking party during her absence. I hope I may have the pleasure of your company. I shall be delighted, returned the young fellow. But, Mr. Spring Fragrance, don't invite any other white fellows. If you do not, I shall be able to get in a scoop. You know, I am a sort of honorary reporter for the Gleaner. Very well, absently answered Mr. Spring Fragrance. Of course, your friend the council will be present. I shall call it a high-class Chinese stag party. In spite of his melancholy mood, Mr. Spring Fragrance smiled. Everything is high class in America, he observed. Sure, cheerfully assented the young man. Haven't you ever heard that all Americans are princes and princesses, and just as soon as a foreigner puts his foot upon our shores, he also becomes of the nobility, I mean the royal family? What about my brother in the detention pen? Dryly inquired Mr. Spring Fragrance. Now you've got me, said the young man, rubbing his head. Well, that is a shame, a beastly shame, as the Englishman says. But understand, old fellow, there are real Americans are up against that, even more than you. It is against our principles. I offer the real Americans my consolations that they should be compelled to do that which is against their principles. Oh, well, it will all come right some day. We're not a bad sort, you know. Think of the indemnity money returned to the dragon by Uncle Sam. Mr. Spring Fragrance puffed his pipe in silence for some moments. More than politics was troubling his mind. At last he spoke. Love, said he slowly and distinctly, comes before the wedding in this country, does it not? Yes, certainly. Young Carmen knew Mr. Spring Fragrance well enough to receive this calmness, his most astounding queries. Presuming, continued Mr. Spring Fragrance, presuming that some friend of your father's, living, presuming, in England, has a daughter that he arranges with your father to be your wife, presuming that you have never seen that daughter but that you marry her, knowing her not, presuming that she marries you, knowing you not, after she marries you and knows you, will that woman love you? Emphatically no, answered the young man. That is the way it would be in America, that the woman who marries the man like that would not love him. Yes, that is the way it would be in America. Love in this country must be free, or it is not love at all. In China it is different, mused Mr. Spring Fragrance. Oh, yes, I have no doubt that in China it is different. But the love is in the heart all the same, went on Mr. Spring Fragrance. Yes, all the same. Everybody falls in love sometime or another. Some, pensively, many times. Mr. Spring Fragrance arose. I must go downtown, said he. As he walked down the street, he recalled the remark of a business acquaintance who had met his wife and had had some conversation with her. She is just like an American woman. He had felt somewhat flattered when this remark had been made. He looked upon it as a compliment to his wife's cleverness, but it rankled in his mind as he entered the telegraph office. If his wife was becoming an American woman, would it not be possible for her to love as an American woman? A man to whom she was not married? There also floated in his memory the verse which his wife had quoted to the daughter of Chin Yun. When the telegraph clerk handed him a blank, he wrote his message. Remain as you wish, but remember that 'tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. When Mrs. Spring Fragrance received this message, her laughter tinkled like falling water. How droll! How delightful! Hear her husband quoting American poetry in a telegram. Perhaps he had been reading her American poetry books since she had left him. She hoped so. They would lead him to understand her sympathy for her dear Laura and Kaiju. She need no longer keep from him their secret. How joyful! It had been such a hardship to refrain from confiding in him before. But discreetness had been most necessary, seeing that Mr. Spring Fragrance entertained as old-fashioned notions concerning marriage as did the Chin Yun parents. Strange that that should be so, since he had fallen in love with her picture before ever he had seen her, just as she had fallen in love with his. And when the marriage veil was lifted and each beheld the other for the first time in the flesh, there had been no disillusion, no lessening of the respect and affection which those who had brought about the marriage had inspired in each young heart. Mrs. Spring Fragrance began to wish she could fall asleep and wake to find the week flown, and she in her own little home pouring tea for Mr. Spring Fragrance. Mr. Spring Fragrance was walking to business with Mr. Chin Yun. As they walked, they talked. Yes, said Mr. Chin Yun, the old order is passing away, and the new order is taking its place, even with us who are Chinese. I have finally consented to give my daughter in marriage to young Kaiju. Mr. Spring Fragrance expressed surprise. He had understood that the marriage between his neighbor's daughter and the San Francisco school teacher's son was all arranged. So it was, answered Mr. Chin Yun. But it seems the young renegade, without consultation or advice, has placed his affections upon some untrustworthy female and is so under her influence that he refuses to fulfill his parents' promise to me for him. So, said Mr. Spring Fragrance. The shadow on his brow deepened. But, said Mr. Chin Yun, with affable resignation, it is all ordained by heaven. Our daughter, as the wife of Kaizu, for whom she has long had a loving feeling, will not now be compelled to dwell with a mother-in-law, and where her own mother is not. For that we are thankful, as she is our only one, and the conditions of life in this Western country are not as in China. Moreover, Kaizu, though not so much of a scholar as a teacher's son, has a keen eye for business, and that in America is certainly much more desirable than scholarship. What do you think? What? Exclaimed Mr. Spring Fragrance. The latter part of his companion's remarks had been lost upon him. That day, the shadow which had been following Mr. Spring Fragrance ever since he had heard his wife quote, "'Twas better to have loved, etc., became so heavy and deep that he quite lost himself within it. At home in the evening, he fed the cat, the bird, and the flowers. Then, seating himself in a carved black chair, a present from his wife on his last birthday, he took out his pipe and smoked. The cat jumped into his lap. He stroked it softly and tenderly. It had been much fondled by Mrs. Spring Fragrance, and Mr. Spring Fragrance was under the impression that it missed her. "Poor thing," said he. "I suppose you want her back." Then he arose to go to bed. He placed the animal carefully on the floor and thus apostrophized it. "Oh, wise and silent one, your mistress returns to you, but her heart she leaves behind her with the Tommies in San Francisco." The wise and silent one made no reply. He was not a jealous cat. Mr. Spring Fragrance slept not that night. The next morning he ate not. 3 days and three nights without sleep and food went by. There was a spring-like freshness in the air on the day that Mrs. Spring Fragrance came home. The skies overhead were as blue as Puget Sound, stretching its gleaming length toward the mighty Pacific, and all the beautiful green world seemed to be throbbing with springing life. Mrs. Spring Fragrance was never so radiant. "Oh," she cried lightheartedly, "is it not lovely to see the sun shining so clear and everything so bright to welcome me?" Mr. Spring Fragrance made no response. It was the morning after the fourth sleepless night. Mrs. Spring Fragrance noticed his silence, also his grave face. "Everyone is glad to see me but you," she declared half seriously, half jestingly. Mr. Spring Fragrance set down her valise. They had just entered the house. "If my wife is glad to see me," he quietly replied, "I also am glad to see her." Summoning their servant boy, he bade him look over Mrs. Spring Fragrance Comfort. "I must be at the store in half an hour," said he, looking at his watch. "There is some very important business requiring attention." "What is the business?" inquired Mrs. Spring Fragrance, her lip quivering with disappointment. "I cannot just explain to you," answered her husband. Mrs. Spring Fragrance looked up into his face with honest and earnest eyes. There was something in his manner, in the tone of her husband's voice, which touched her. "Yen," said she, "you do not look well. You are not well. What is it?" Something arose in Mr. Spring Fragrance's voice which prevented him from replying. "Oh, darling one, oh, sweetest one," cried a girl's joyous voice. Laura Chen Yun ran into the room and threw her arms around Mrs. Spring Fragrance's neck. "I spied you from the window," said Laura, "and I couldn't rest until I told you. We are to be married next week, Kai Zhu and I, and all through you, the sweetest jade jewel in the world." Mr. Spring Fragrance passed out of the room. "So the son of the government teacher and little happy love are already married," Laura went on, relieving Mrs. Spring Fragrance of her cloak, her hat, and her folding fan. Mr. Spring Fragrance paused upon the doorstep. "Sit down, little sister, and I will tell you all about it," said Mrs. Spring Fragrance, forgetting her husband for a moment. When Laura Chen Yun had danced away, Mr. Spring Fragrance came in and hung up his hat. "You got back very soon," said Mrs. Spring Fragrance, covertly wiping away the tears which had begun to fall as soon as she thought herself alone. "I did not go," answered Mr. Spring Fragrance. "I have been listening to you and Laura." "But if the business is very important, do not you think you should attend to it?" anxiously queried Mrs. Spring Fragrance. "It is not important to me now," returned Mr. Spring Fragrance. "I would prefer to hear again about Aoi and Man Yu and Laura and Kai Zhu." "How lovely of you to say that," exclaimed Mrs. Spring Fragrance, who was easily made happy. And she began to chat away to her husband in the friendliest and wifeliest fashion possible. When she had finished, she asked him if he were not glad to hear that those who loved, as did the young lovers whose secret she had been keeping, were to be united. And he replied that indeed he was, that he would like every man to be as happy with a wife as he himself had ever been and ever would be. "You did not always talk like that," said Mrs. Spring Fragrance slyly. "You must have been reading my American poetry books." "American poetry," ejaculated Mr. Spring Fragrance almost fiercely. "American poetry is detestable, abhorrible." Why, exclaimed Mrs. Spring Fragrance, more and more surprised. But the only explanation which Mr. Spring Fragrance vouchsafed was a jade stone pendant. The end. You've been listening to me read Edith Maud Eaton's Mrs. Spring Fragrance. This has been Telling Tales with Ms. G. Good night. Until next time.